We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Two rock stars today, Ali Tomasby, welcome, and Adam Shaw.
Great to be here.
Welcome, the CEOs and CPO of Sportle. We'll get to that in a minute. One of the greatest apps you've ever seen. If you know me, you know I love sports. Sports loves me, or they loved me, and this app's unbelievable. But let's talk about being an entrepreneur. You consider yourselves entrepreneurs?
Oh, Ali? Most definitely, yeah.
How? Why?
Having a passion to solve a problem, to create value for people. I think in order to be an entrepreneur, you really have to have that passion to solve and create things. And I think that's what we have.
You know, everybody says that. Is passion the same as patience, Adam?
Is passion the same as patience?
Yeah.
No, in fact, I think the two are not necessarily... don't necessarily go hand in hand. I think sometimes passion and exuberance can challenge
overshadow
patience.
Yeah.
And make it I think they're both really important. I think successful entrepreneurs have passion and exuberance, but at the same time balance it with the right amount of patience.
Based on the name of your app, Sportle, and we'll get to that in a little bit, you're obviously sports fans. What's your day at the office like? What's your typical work day?
And before we start with that, I got to give you a little bit of credit. I am a huge, huge sports fan. And the way I started becoming a sports fan was watching the Lakers in the 80s. And your voice is what I hear when I think about those
coming
days.
Coming up, so here from the garden.
I'm going to give you a little credit for Sportle.
All right, Sportle. Good, thank you.
But yeah, our typical day.
Wait a minute, let me get that down. How much credit do I get? What's the percentage? So anyway, your typical work day?
A typical work day is we get in and we actually throw on the TV and we start to stream some sports. So there's sports on 24/7. I mean, that's what we do. So, and then we start to get forward with building the app and building out features and working on all the different facets that go with, you know, kind of growing this product.
Was it hard to, well, first of all, it's a risk, right? Do you consider yourself risk takers?
Huge risk.
Because having worked with the MLB and NFL, the NBA, and it's impossible to get rights. Did you find that to be true?
Well, so I worked.
It's obviously not impossible because you have.
Well, actually, so I worked for Fox for 7 years, and I worked for the NFL for 4 years. And so what that gave me was a really good understanding of sports rights and the sports landscape. So when we set out to create a product that really took care of streaming, we didn't want to take on the big media rights holders.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah, there are companies that have been in the business of creating great programming for, you know, 30, 40 years, and have billions of dollars to spend on rights. What we recognized was there was a problem in, as people transform from one medium to the next, so in this case from television to digital, people don't necessarily know where to find the games. And so you had a similar thing happen with music when music went from CDs to streaming.
And Spotify and everything, yeah.
Exactly. And so sports was particularly difficult because sports rights are locked up for very long periods of times, and there's lots of different deals. There's regional deals, there's national deals, there's obviously different sports. And so the rights landscape is very disjointed. And so the decision makers who have the ability to decide, okay, now we're going to stream in addition to televising, it went at very different paces. So for the sports fan, sometimes a game would be streamed, sometimes it wouldn't be. Sometimes they required you to authenticate with cable in order to watch it. Other times everybody
So the landscape is always changing.
Is really changing.
And
so
arena.
What that meant was is that for the sports fan, they couldn't find how to stream a game. And for these big media companies that have these incredibly well-produced games, they only make money if people find it and people watch it. So what we created was a great platform and marketplace that connected the two. So it made it really easy for sports fans to find the games they want to watch, and then for the people who are presenting the games, it helped them aggregate an audience.
And we're going to get to that a lot more in the next segment. How do you motivate yourself?
How do I motivate myself? That's a good question.
You can't watch the Lakers and Celtics anymore. There's
that's
no
a good point, although I still have some of those VHS tapes, if I can find a VCR somewhere. No, you know what it is actually, so I am also an athlete growing up, and I played a lot of sports. And with that, it's about setting goals and trying to achieve them and then making sure you take the steps to get there. And with a startup akin to a team, it's about you know, setting goals together and working hard together to get there and building a team that can do different things. So Adam has, you know, a really great skill set, and I have a little bit different skill set. And then we have other people on the team that have different skill sets. And then together, we work really hard to achieve those goals.
So that's very important,
yeah,
being an entrepreneur. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. With us is Ali Tomaspi, the CPO of an incredible app called Sportle, and Adam Shaw, who's the CEO. You know, we'll talk about the product in the next segment, but how do you achieve a life balance? I mean, sports, one of the biggest criticisms of people who keep track of sports is, oh, you're always watching TV, you're always on that app. So how do you keep a balance?
Well, it's great for us because when my wife gets mad at me about watching too much sports, I say, honey, I'm just doing work.
My wife used to say, you love basketball more than me. And I'd say, maybe true, but I love you more than football. How do you keep the balance?
Yeah, I think it's important to prioritize like things like sleep and you know, making sure that you're taking care of yourself. But at the end of the day, you're working on a startup, and especially in the early stages like we are, you kind of have to put a hard commitment towards it and put a lot of effort towards it. So there is no normal work-life balance,
right,
but there are priorities in terms of taking care of yourself.
And the team actually becomes part of your family. I mean, you almost have a second family with the team because you spend so much time together.
True.
And how do you do that when somebody in the team isn't performing? You can't bench him.
You know, the idea
you're paying
is,
him.
Yeah, the idea is it's our job to inspire everybody, mm-hmm, to and you know, there's a lot of hands-on coaching that goes into it. And everyone makes mistakes. Ali and I make mistakes. And so part of what makes a good entrepreneur is recognizing that you make mistakes, being able to acknowledge it, and then learning from that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you don't really wear one hat in a startup. You wear many hats.
That's the key, right?
And part of recruiting a team is to let them know that that's the case for everybody. And with that, you become more of a family. You become integrated in everything you do. And hopefully you're able to motivate and figure out what makes someone tick.
As entrepreneurs, do you visualize something before you do it? I mean, this one would have been easy, I think, because this is something everybody's looking for, but how do you approach it?
Yeah, well,
by the way, I'm going to answer all my questions for
that's
you.
That's great. So. Yeah, and I'm just going to say what you said, Pat. we definitely had a concept, but you know, it actually took quite a bit of effort and back and forth before we figured out exactly what that user experience was going to be. For me, I have a background in product management, and it's all about solving problems. How are we creating value and solving problems for users? And for us, it was figuring out what those key things are that keep you from watching sports. You want to watch something, what's keeping you from doing it? Now in this world of social media, and there's a million things to do, how do you not miss the end of that Tigers game or the end of, you know, some big event that's happening? And what are the factors that keep you from doing that? And so for us, it was really about taking that concept, figuring out the problem, and then really visualizing and coming up with a solution.
If I might jump in.
Go ahead.
It's actually a great question because I think Alina and I both visualized in a way that almost hurt us, because there was a place that we wanted to get to that we thought was sort of the starting point of the product. And ultimately, looking back, I think we would have been better off going to market sooner and learning from that experience and iterating and continuously making it better.
Forcing you to do that?
Yeah. Like, so, but it's very hard. It's, you know, your product, your business is like your baby. And so you don't want to show it off until you think it's ready. And it's a common mistake with entrepreneurs is you have to be willing, you know, to make some mistakes, to get some criticism, because move on. We're you know, in the world today, and with software, it's not a get everything ready, put into a package, and then you hope it works and you're done. It's not. It's constant iteration. So for visualizing, you can know where the end game is, but you have to be willing to sort of to say, okay, this is pretty good. You know, we're going to continue to make it better, but not hold off and have a sense of perfection, because you'll never achieve
right.
that.
What are the three things that every entrepreneur should know?
It's okay to not know the answer, and it's okay to ask for help. I think especially young CEOs and young founders and first-time CEOs, there's a sense of they don't want to show their vulnerability. They want to seem as confident as possible. And I made this mistake myself, and I think most entrepreneurs do. And I think people who are looking to be involved with a company, if someone has the maturity to say, I don't know the answer, I need help, I think it's a wonderful thing. And so when other young entrepreneurs hear that, I think it's comforting because then they can say, okay, it's not just me, because everyone has that problem.
Yeah, I do too. Ali, can you give us one more?
So I really like that one, but I'd say smart passion. Not just passion, because that can be misplaced, but being smart about what you're doing, actually solving a problem and validating the problem that you're trying to solve. Is there actually a need? Is there something that are you able to create the value for that user or for the community for that? So it's about being passionate to persevere through, because startups are a roller coaster. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have the windy road, as Adam was saying. But it's really important to be smart about it and also to be really passionate and love what you're doing.
You're not mortal if you don't have Sportle. There you go. I just gave it to you. Guys, thank you very much. It's Sportle. Ali and Adam, thanks for coming in.
This was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
Are you tired of the nightmare of trading in a market that feels rigged? Don't you just want to see your account balance grow and not feel so anxious about every single trade? Well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. The Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. If consistent weekly income and spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, then you've got to check out this real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about this. Even if you've been lazy and unlucky in the past, let me prove to you how the Money Press will work for you. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
You should.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Welcome to the show. Eric Shashua is here, the CEO and founder of Zive, right?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Why Zive?
Zive, because it's a catchy name. It reminds me of my first company, which was called Zio.
See, so there's an answer for everything.
Right.
Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I did. You know, I started...
How do you know?
I think you have to have some of the experience. Some people say they knew from right off. With me, I took a year off before college. I went to Brown University, mm-hmm. studied computer science, and I worked in a startup. And I was really impressed with how people were upending what everyone else was doing and completely changing things. So
something in that moment said, I want to do this. I want to create this. I want to be the leader of this, right?
Yeah. This is something which is really hard for people to do, and it really impacts a lot of people. So I thought, okay, I'll study computer science and I'll start a company.
Yeah, good for you. What was the first paying job you had?
First paying job was working as a cashier in a pharmacy.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And what'd you learn from that? How to make change for a dollar, but besides that.
I think the most interesting thing I took away from that was the interaction with the customers who would come in and seeing how varied they were and how difficult that can be in some ways. There's always someone who might be disgruntled almost every day. And there
only
are a lot of
one?
Other people who are Yeah.
So. You weren't a cashier then. Okay. What about the worst job you ever had?
The worst job, you know, I tended to like a lot of the jobs that I worked in.
How do you do
I didn't
that?
Do too many things before I started my company, though.
Right. So you just you learn how to like the job and figure out a learning experience from all of them, right?
Yeah. How to improve things, how to make things better.
At Zive right now, how many hours do you work a day? Or is it 24?
Easily 12 to 14 hours, long days.
And... is that complete work, or does that include 2-hour lunch? But I mean, you're constantly feeding back into your own company, right?
Right. It's pretty intense. I think, you know, I'm traveling a lot. I'm traveling 3 weeks out of the 4 weeks this month, and you wind up having there's just a lot to do. I think when you're trying to, you have something which is a hit and you're trying to grow it really rapidly, you want to work that hard.
Mm-hmm. And when you're sitting next to somebody on a plane, they say, hey, what do you do?
I tell them, look, we've taken Gmail and we've completely reinvented it.
All right. Do they get it right away?
Gmail users do. So Gmail, The interesting thing is Gmail has 1 billion users worldwide. 80% of those, when they use email on their computers, they use Gmail in the browser because that's where they get all their features. So we've taken pure Gmail and we've turned that into a complete, robust, multi-window desktop applications. Like if Google came out with a computer app for Gmail, that's what we built.
That's what you built. Have any weird hobbies? Or good hobbies?
I like to read French comics, French children's comics.
So in France?
Yeah, I grew up reading, I grew up learning French, and so I keep it fresh that way. Well, Dragon Ball Z and French.
I don't know how many times I've said, why didn't I take more romance languages, you know? It's a gift to be able to do that.
By the way,
it's a better read.
It's fun, I think. These days, though, Chinese is the language to learn, especially Mandarin.
Chinese, and I just read a new translation of War and Peace, which wasn't bad either. What adjective describes you as an entrepreneur?
I would say iconoclast. Trying to do things that are against the grain of what everyone else is doing. But that's what makes a good entrepreneur, I think. So I don't think that'd be unique to me.
Mm-hmm. But you actually believe that?
I do. A lot of the ideas behind...
If you didn't, you wouldn't say it.
Right. A lot of my ideas behind this company and behind the previous company, they were going against what a lot of people believed. And I think you have to balance that, the confidence that you know what you're doing and that it's different from what everyone else is doing out there right now, with the humility to still surround yourself with people who are stronger than you in areas that you're not.
I always said I always felt good in school to raise your hand and knowing that you know the answer. You're not going to BS your way through it. Do you have a mentor?
I do. I think that there are two people who really mentored me, and I was really fortunate in my last company. I managed to get to convince the CEO of Bose Corporation, the sound company, and the CEO of iRobot that makes the Roomba vacuum.
Right.
I managed to convince them to come and join my board of directors, and they mentored me over 7 years there. And it's through them that I really wound up falling in love with the consumer.
What did you learn from Bose?
From Bose, I learned that you really...
I won't buy a car without a Bose stereo, by the way. So, you know.
Bose is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really learned the CEO of Bose really, two things. He really cared about his employees. I watched him come to tears as he described building a factory in Mexico and how that gradually changed the lives of people there. And the other thing was about product design. He talked about how they would spend weeks arguing about whether to have one more button on an interface.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien, the business rock stars. Eric Shashua is here. And CEO, founder of Zive Incorporated. We're talking about the journey as an entrepreneur. Do you delegate things or can you in your company?
Definitely. I think that you can't do everything yourself. And I think that one of the big things is hiring people who can really strongly execute, who you can deputize with product design, with customer support, with building a product. So, yes.
And do you rely on any advice from other people? Obviously you do, right?
Oh, definitely.
Or do you micromanage?
One of the best pieces of advice I had was from one of the VCs in my former company built Acer North America, the computer company. And he told me that the mark of a good CEO is that they really know their weaknesses and that they surround themselves with very strong people in those areas. And that really impacted me. So
I think a lot of people can't get past their own ego to do that, right?
I think it can be hard. It's that balance again of hubris and humility that you have to have, I think, to really be a successful startup. Yeah.
Right. So if you have an employee that's not getting it, how do you deal with that?
I try to spend more time with them.
Yeah.
Sure. I try to spend more time with them. I try to help them see the philosophy of what we're trying to do, connect them more with other people who do, and I try to help them that way. But ultimately, if things don't work out, then I think you have to be able to let someone go. To be able to really
build
a team that's... yeah, it is. I think it's always difficult to do that.
Would you hire family?
No.
Friends?
Generally, no.
Why?
Because I think...
I know why, but I mean...
I think friendships and family are extremely important. And what happens if one of those...
Does it mix?
Yeah, what if they're not really working out and then you have to let them go? I just wouldn't want to be in that situation.
I think I know, but what is your strength as a CEO?
I think it's really having a very passionate vision and an equally strong passion for turning that into a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a really good CEO is able to run that marathon of turning a product into ultimately what's nothing more than an assemblage of details as it turns into reality, and to stay focused on everything as you're going through.
It's like baking a cake. If you leave one ingredient out, it's not going to taste the same, right?
Right.
I mean, that's basically, that's my take on it. What's on your resume, or what's not on your resume that might surprise us?
I would say what's not on my resume would be maybe a lot of former jobs. I started my first company my senior year right out of undergrad. Mm-hmm. I did that for 10 years and sold that company, and then I started this one.
And the first company was a sleep company, right?
A sleep company called Zio. We made what is still far and away the most advanced wearable for sleep. So like we have these watches that can tell us how we're working out and so forth, we had something that could read your actual brain waves and tell you how you're sleeping over the course of the night.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
United States Navy veteran Jack Holder talks about the first strike on Pearl Harbor.
After the first wave hit, we had construction crews. The Oklahoma, battleship Oklahoma, had turned turtle up. The keel of the ship was up. We had construction crews out there on the bottom of the ship, cutting holes in the bottom of the ship, rescuing seamen trapped inside.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice of American veterans. To hear more, like us on Facebook.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Eric Shashwa is with us.
Thank you.
The CEO and founder of Zive Inc. So what's the elevator pitch on your product?
We have basically developed, in a nutshell, a technology that allows us to take some of the most used work applications that right now you can only get through the web browser and turn those into full-featured, native, multi-windowed like applications on the desktop while still keeping them in the cloud.
Now explain
it
again.
So like, things like Salesforce, things like Gmail, things like LinkedIn. So users, those applications are mammoth. Gmail has 1 billion users. Salesforce runs CRM for the entire world. And the only way that you can use them is as a web page. So you have this really complex application. So we're able to make that work as its own application, but also with multiple windows so you can multitask with it while you're working and integrate it into your operating system.
It makes sense because I wonder why no one's thought of that before.
It's much easier to do to work that way, but it's very difficult to
all
do that well.
All these computer geniuses, we just thought of that now?
So
recently?
It goes against the grain a little bit of thinking you should do everything in the browser. And also, it is hard to do. So we've got some of the best talent in the Valley, and it took us 2 years to develop the technology that lets us do that.
What's on your website? Kiwi for Gmail.
That's
or as
our
I
first
said, Kiwi Forge Mail. No, Kiwi for Gmail.
So Kiwi for Gmail is our first product, and that's growing very, very rapidly with millennials. It's a product that basically takes native Gmail, pure Gmail that people use on the desktop in the browser, takes that out of the browser and turns it into this full-featured native application while still giving you all of Gmail's native features. So no one has ever succeeded in doing that before. We've turned it into its own application, so you click on it and it opens up. You have multiple native Gmail accounts that you can easily switch between. The average Gmail user has more than 2 accounts. We've turned it into something that, for the first time ever, lets Gmail be your default email handler on the computer. So you can click on an email address in the browser and it'll open up in a nice, beautiful little window and you can write in it.
So I have like a Mac.com, I have Gmail, I have O'Brien.com, I have all this stuff, US.com.
Right.
How does that operate under your system?
So all of those can be integrated into a Gmail account that you can then use. So we built this to really optimize Gmail itself. You can use it, it's like when you use Outlook, you can add all these different email accounts. With this, you can add those in, but they work through Gmail and through Gmail's interface with all of its features.
Why'd you come up with this?
Because we saw that we love Gmail, and we also love Apple.
It's easy. Yeah.
Right. And so while we'll take things to Windows as well by the end of the year, we started out on the Mac because we realized that Apple fans are also Google fans. And Google's strategy is to push everyone to do everything in the browser. When you're doing serious work, complex work, it's much easier to do that as an application than it is to do that as a web page where it's mixed in
with
all the browsing stuff you're doing in the browser.
Right. So more things are available. More tools are available.
And it's easier to get to those tools. For instance, so here's an example. If you want to send someone an email, and you're a typical Gmail user, you use Gmail in the browser, you have to do this. You have to click on the browser icon. It takes you several steps. Click on the browser icon, find the right window where Gmail is, find the right tab that Gmail is in that window, click on it, click on Compose, and then you have this really wide window that's taking up your entire screen.
Right.
So with us, you can just press a button, and instantly you'll get a nice little beautiful narrow window that'll show up and you can start sending someone an email. So we've made email in that way as easy as texting. You can instantly get in and out of it just like breathing. And that's something that, those are the sorts of things that make Gmail users find our application very difficult to move away from once they've started using it.
It always amazes me that something we haven't had ever, and we sit around, we watch the little circle go and we pissed off at our computer because it's not fast enough.
Right.
I mean, it's just, everything's about faster, 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 right?
Right, exactly.
Why?
I think because it just helps you get your work done more easily. I think that in the 1950s, people dreamed of technology, right? There were all these big computers with flashy buttons. In the 1980s, we had technology and people coveted it. It was any device they could get their hands on. Right. But in the 2000s, people started to really want something else. They wanted technology to sort of fade away and stop being the thing that gets in the way of them doing what they want to do. And that's why I think when things get faster, it allows you to do what you want to do without the technology being an impediment.
Too, yeah. For the next thing. Now, you sold a company to do this, right?
Right.
So you did you ever have any funding problems? For the first company, probably, yeah?
I think that anyone who raises funding, sometimes it's going great, sometimes not so much. I want to be honest with this. We did very, very well with raising funding in the last company and this one too. And it's, I think that's really a testament to sweat and willingness to travel.
And explaining it, yeah, right. And explaining it too, I mean, because, or do you explain it to the right people at that company who will understand it right away?
I think it's, you find people who understand your idea and your company, and those wind up being the ones who invest. And it just takes work to find people.
What's the biggest challenge in raising money?
I think the biggest challenge, honestly, is just the stamina, the ability to keep motivated through from the beginning when you don't quite know yet how to reach people with your idea to continuing to find people all the way through until you close your round.
All right. And how do you do that? I mean, how many times can people say no to you before you say, oh, well, maybe this is not the right thing?
That's the biggest reason why I think companies tend to fail. It's because they give up at that point. I think.
And you don't give up.
No. In the beginning, my first company, when I was doing that for the very first time, it was my co-founders who helped me, and my feeling that I had people who were depending on me for payroll, that if I didn't succeed, you know, they'd have to find
That's
work somewhere
incentive.
Else.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's just the memory that I've been through this several times. I know how those rounds go, so I know how to raise.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Eric Shashawa is our guest, CEO, founder of Zive, Inc. We're talking about creating something that nobody's had before. Do you have any competition in this area?
Our main competition, I think, honestly, is Gmail in the browser. It's the thing that we're replacing and making much better. Otherwise, my main focus on this has always been develop software that's so far above and beyond what everyone else is doing that the serious competition you get is only from like a very small number of large players.
Do you watch Silicon Valley?
I do.
And do you understand it?
I do.
You understand their dilemmas all the time?
Yeah. I think they dramatize it somewhat. They have fun with it. But
I'm not sure if they do. what about your? Will there ever be competition that you'll really be worried about, or they just have to be 10 times smarter than you?
I think you always, I think a good startup always has to be concerned about that, about the possibility of eventually a competitor will show up. Mm-hmm. That's inevitable. So do I lose sleep over it? No. I am confident
you
in my team.
You should never have sold your sleep app, right? Sleep coach.
Hey, that did well for us, though. So.
But you don't lose sleep over that?
No.
Okay. Social media, how important is it to you?
Critical. So for my last company, I really fell in love with the consumer. And I think social media is key. These days, you live or die based on how people respond to you in social media. And it's like managing a mob. They're a mob of like good people, but they could turn on you.
I know
you in a
well.
Minute.
Yeah.
So one of the top three things that we focus on are keeping our existing users really thrilled with us, customer support, responding to people well there so they're happy, feel taken care of, and social media, making sure people feel listened to.
Let's talk about customer support, because I think that's the biggest bugaboo in any corporation
right.
or company is get them on the phone. Like I will say that DirecTV is one of the best, and it's not an ad for them, I guess it is now, is the greatest at customer support. They answer every question, they get things done.
Yeah.
How do you deal with doing it that way?
The main thing that I did, honestly, was I looked for someone from a large company that had gone up in a customer support role, and I hired that person. So I hired someone who was high up in customer support for one of the massive gaming companies that's online. Mm-hmm. He was there from zero users all the way up to 300,000 users. So I hired that person in, and he makes sure that we get back to everyone within 24 hours, and that works.
So what I don't want to hear from customer support is, gosh, never heard of that problem. So, I mean, those people have to be so well prepared, right, for anything.
Right. Yeah. So I think that you build your customer support scripts so that you can answer the basic questions quickly, and as questions happen that you haven't heard of before, then you engage the engineers, and then you come back and you add that so that the next time you can answer that question.
In this business, Eric, how do you find and keep great employees? Not good ones, great ones.
I think part of it is giving them a piece of the rock, mm-hmm. making sure that they play a part in the company's success, and if the company has a great success, then they get financially rewarded for that. And the other thing I think is having a team where people work well together and they're passionate about the same things.
Eric Shashua is our guest, CEO, founder of Zive Inc. What do you do about somebody who's not working out for you?
I think that's challenging. I think that you try to get them to understand why they're not working out. You try to connect them with people who can. And you really, my approach is honestly to be very patient with them, because I feel like you can't let someone like that go too quickly.
But this is such a specific business. You pretty much know when you hire them, right?
I think it takes,
maybe.
My experience as a manager is that it takes about 3 or 4 months before you really,
really?
Know.
Before you understand they get the whole process.
Right.
Do you like firing people?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, who does?
Yeah.
No one's answered yes to that. But I mean, you got to have an alternative, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you work very hard with people. I mean, it's a livelihood, and so you don't want to cut someone off from that. But ultimately, if someone really isn't working out, then I think that you have to understand that they may be better off somewhere else, where they're not going to be stunted potentially in their career.
In your business, Eric, is working at home a good idea, or you just got to have a computer somewhere? Your employees.
Well, it's interesting because my company is a virtual company. Mm-hmm. So this has been happening with startups where you have, you're not all in an office somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that generally for the average person, I would say don't work from home. But in my company, what I've tried to do is focus on hiring people who are responsible and accountable and that can handle that and still be productive.
Who's your favorite superhero?
I would say Captain America.
Why?
Because he's the one.
Iron Man. I was going to put money on Iron Man.
Iron Man's pretty awesome. Captain America has the whole bioengineering thing going on, but he's got the best character, I think, of superheroes.
I love you, man. You're a cool guy.
Thank you.
I don't really love you. Well, actually, I do. Thank you, Eric. We are here to inspire, love, and inform and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.
Are you tired of the nightmare of trading in a market that feels rigged? Don't you just want to see your account balance grow and not feel so anxious about every single trade? Well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. The Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. If consistent weekly income and spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, then you've got to check out this real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about this. Even if you've been lazy and unlucky in the past, let me prove to you how the Money Press will work for you. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is our CEO Roundtable segment. And joining me today are two rockstar CEOs. Give us the quick elevator pitch. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Angel Anderson. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Nail Snaps. Nail Snaps lets you transform any social image into a salon quality nail wrap you can apply yourself in minutes with no dry time, no mess, no toxicity.
And you're wearing them now, right?
Of course, always.
Right. Very cool. AJ Shaw, co-founder of Dottie Digital. We are an augmented reality company. We do enterprise level solutions in full 3D for augmented reality, which isn't really done today.
Very cool. Well, yeah. We're going to have some fun conversations then.
Yeah.
As the CEO Roundtable segment, I personally like to get it started with failures and mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think that in life, everybody at some point can relate to failures and mistakes more so than they can successes and achievements. So I'd love to know personally from you guys, I'll of course share my own, but ladies first, what's been one of the biggest mistakes or failures you've made so far on your entrepreneurial journey and what was the lesson?
Well, I'll say a big failure I made was taking on a partnership that I thought was going to take us down a certain road, and it turned out that that road had a very, very abrupt dead end. And I learned that I need to do a much better job of trusting my gut when I get into partnership relationships with other, whether it's an advisor or a marketing firm, anything. There's definitely, on a gut level, there was something kind of tingling my spidey sense, and I turned it off because I thought all of the logical things here, this contract makes sense for our business, but there was something in my gut that said, maybe not, and I should have listened to that.
It's insane, I just want to say, insane how many times we have people on our show that say virtually the exact same thing. My intuition told me no. But the logic and the things saying, this is going to be a great partnership, a great decision, a great investor, whatever, that's the thing. It's crazy how many people say the gut and the intuition told me no, but the logic and the reason said do it anyways,
yeah.
And it ended up being a bad decision. So I guess the lesson from that is something we've heard a few times on this show. Follow your gut and your intuition.
What was the point of contention? What made it not a good decision?
I actually can't go into it because we've signed an agreement saying I can't talk about
sure.
it. So, but I will say, you know, as a woman, you're always kind of taught that you have a certain higher level of intuition. And as a CEO...
Us men don't like to believe that.
One of my unfair natural advantages, I will admit. But as a CEO, I try to sometimes distance myself from qualities that are traditionally feminine and really like pay attention to the numbers and the data and the logical side of things. And this was a really clear example of when I needed to be myself, and I mm-hmm. needed to really, really listen to that deep voice inside. And I didn't, and I learned a hard lesson, and I will never make that mistake again.
AJ?
I think we can all relate to that. So mine was definitely not pivoting quick enough. You know, anytime you do a startup, you have this brainchild of an idea that you think is going to be amazing and that the world will adopt. And then you quickly find out that the world doesn't see the same thing you see. And instead of taking the feedback from the world, you try to have this stand-up mentality of, I'll show you that I could be right and you could be wrong. And it's actually much smarter to potentially pivot and listen to the smartest people in the room, because usually 9 out of 10 times you are not it.
Yeah.
So I should have pivoted much quicker than I did.
But it's a tough thing, because you know, part of you is listening to your gut saying, no, I can keep going, I can make this work. And you know, where my story is listening to yourself, your story is listen to other people. And there's always that tension. Mm-hmm. As a CEO, you have so many people giving you advice and people who've been down similar roads. And there is no right path. Most of the time, you're faced with a lot of hard decisions.
Very true.
And it's like, okay, in this instance, do I listen to my gut, or do I listen to the smartest person in the room who's not me?
So
that's a tough thing to draw the line.
Yeah.
So I think on this one with pivoting, where gut may be like, hey, I think this is a great idea, it's the fact that when you hear other people consistently say the same thing, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's like, okay, I need to take that advice instead of holding on to my own pre-held beliefs, because you're so biased to your own idea that you want it to work, because you want to think that you are better than...
Nobody wants to think their baby's ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
For us, personally, one of the things that we do is create the environment that allows people to grow consistently.
We do a similar thing where we give people the opportunity to take on training and go to workshops to grow and to expand their skill set. I think people really naturally like to invest their time in a place that feels like they're actually getting an investment back. You know, the investment that they're putting mm-hmm. into the company is also being put into them.
Like, I'm going to pay for you to get smarter so that I can pay you more.
Exactly.
It's like, who doesn't want to be in that type of an environment?
We also offer free manicures.
Oh, of course.
Unlimited free manicures. I think, you know, one of the things that's most important for our culture is giving people the freedom and leeway to kind of be self-directed and to have creative input at any point in the company. So everyone from our UX
lead.
What is
it called, from the janitor all the way up to the CEO?
Yeah, you know, our customer happiness specialist has a lot of agency to come up with the responses that are going to be best for a customer. And there's like a huge list of canned responses, but she can go off script and be more personable and be more human. And we're constantly encouraging people, be yourself.
And you even have a fun That's name awesome. For them, the customer happiness rep. Or
customer happiness specialist.
I love that. What about you, AJ? What's some fun things you guys do for company culture?
So we try and hit milestone retreats. So we're big on incentives and creating rewards. So we went to Vancouver this past summer. We hit some of our milestones, and so we did a biking trip up there and a hiking trip. So we really like to embrace the like Spanish lifestyle of siestas and taking long breaks to actually recharge. So we don't dictate any hours. We say as long as you could get whatever you need to get done, hit your milestones, hit your goals, but don't feel like you have to commit to certain hours or don't have to commit to certain times.
I have a huge morning ritual list that I go through, but to keep it super short is becoming a wrap. I follow a saying that I say all the time because it's so important. The habit is more important than the effort. And so for me, when I wake up in the morning, I spend the first 60 to 90 minutes of my day studying, meditating, going over my gratitude list, my productivity journal, my gratitude journal, and then a binder that I have that kind of maps out my goals, the activities and the strategies and the plans I'm going to have to achieve those goals. And then, of course, I map out my critical activities, urgent activities, and important activities. So basically the old cliche saying, plan your work and work your plan.
Can I hire you as a coach? Because that sounds amazing.
So those are just
incredible.
Basically a little gist of what my morning ritual is for the first 60 to 90 minutes looks like. That's a wrap on our segment, guys. I loved having you on here. I feel
Thanks,
like we
Mark.
Could just keep going for days. You guys have been a blast. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.